Melech's Tehillim. Because that was David HaMelech's gift. David HaMelech's gift to us was Tehillim. So the story, as I read it in a book of Shmuas V'Sipurim, talks about a holy man, I presume a Talmud of the Maggid of Mizrich, whose name was Rabbi Moshe of Savaron. He was a holy man, a tzaddik. And this Rabbi Moshe, he had a mechutin. He had one of his children was married to somebody from Bardichev. Bardichev is, of course, in the Ukraine. And the name of this mechutin was Yankiv Yosef Chodorov. The reason I share the names of these stories is not because it's so important to know the names of these people from 3 centuries ago, but because it makes a story real when it has a name to it. And this Reb Yosef, Reb Yankiv Yosef, was a very wealthy individual, very, very learned man, very pious man, and very generous, a big Baal Tzedakah. So the story, this particular story, is about this holy man, this tzaddik, Reb Moshe of Savaron, who comes to Bardichev for whatever, some reason. And he takes up his temporary lodging at his mechutin's home, at this Reb Yankiv Yosef's home. Now at that time, and I'm going to guess that this story took place near the end of the 18th century, probably in the last decade or two of the 18th century, 1780, 1790, somewhere around there. So there was a group of what you call Wasserträgers. You know what a Wasserträger is? A Wasserträger literally is a water carrier. Think Fiddler on the Roof. You know, Bardichev is not a little town. It's not a little hamlet. I was in Bardichev. It's a fair-sized town. It's got city buses and everything. It's easily 50,000 people living, maybe 100,000 people living in Bardichev today. So I don't know if the towns were that big at the time, but, you know, running water they didn't have. And water is needed. So there was a whole team of people who did this for a living. They would go down to a well, go down to a river, and they would draw water. And then, you know, in that proverbial picture with the person who has the yoke and two buckets on either side, and they would schlep the water. That's how they made a living. Not exactly a fun way to make a living, but they probably were in good shape. And most of the people who were tregers were very simple people. They were not particularly learned or educated. Most of them lacked sophistication. So there's this group of tregers, and this group of tregers, they decide to create what you would call today a union. The union of tregers. But the union of tregers was not going to raise their prices or see how they could gouge the public because people needed water. This union of Yiddish tregers made the decision that they would, since they're in a common pursuit, you know, they do with similar things. So they made this little union amongst themselves. And they decided that they would come together as a group, the union of tregers of Bardichev, every Shabbos morning, early Shabbos morning, Bahashkama, at daybreak, before everybody else would come to Shul, to Davin, and they would recite the entire book of Tehillim, David HaMelech's book of Tehillim, together, with a minyan. Now, this group, this union of water carrier union, these Tehillim Jews, they heard that this famous holy man from Savaron was visiting in Bardichev, and that he had taken up temporary residence in his mechutin's home, Reb Yankiv Yosef Chodorov's home. So they chose a young man who was somewhat learned, what you would call today a Ben Torah, and they said to him, we would like you to please represent us at the holy man, to go see the holy man, go see the tzaddik. Because they were very simple people, very unlettered, but they had emunah tzaddikim, they believed in the power of tzaddikim. He said, we would like to send a pidyon, a letter, a prayer note, asking him to pray on our behalf. And they sent along, as was customary, money for the tzaddik to do as he pleased, to dispense of as he pleased. So they sent money in the pidyon nefesh, 25 ruble. I don't know what 25 ruble was in the late 18th century, but my guess it was at least several hundred, or if not the equivalent of several thousand dollars today. And they asked, they made a request of Reb Moshe. They wanted him to read over the little constitution they had put together. And if he would find it to be appropriate, then he should sign on to it. Like, you know, say, edited. This is good. And to bless them. This young man knew the group. He was kind of their de facto rabbi. They didn't really have a rabbi. So he was like their leader. He was like their spiritual guide. They asked him to, you know, I guess he would farbreng with them, spend some time with them, teach them a little bit of Torah. So the young man comes to Reb Yankiv Yosef's home and he wants to see the tzaddik. I said, usher him in to see the tzaddik. And he makes this request. He says, I have this group of tregers, group of water carriers, and they're asking for a bracha. And they sent a prayer note and they're asking if the Rebbe could please read over the little constitution that they put together and to sign on to it, that what they're doing is good. So there was a young man who was happened to be in the house of Rabbi Yankiv Yosef Chodorov at the time. And he asked this other fellow, he says, what are you doing here? So he said, well, you know, there's this group of tregers, group of Wasser tregers, and I try to help them a little. I'm a little bit of a spiritual guide for them. And now they sent me to ask a bracha on their behalf. So he says, You? A Ben Torah, an educated person? You hang out with these uneducated peasants? You? What are you doing with these peasants? Somebody who's able to study Torah should not be wasting his time saying Tillim, said this young scholar. So the first young man, the young man representing this group, protested. And he says, why would you say that? You think just because somebody is educated in Torah, somebody is learned, that he's not obligated to say Tehillim? Do you not know the famous maxim of our sages, that David HaMelech prayed that one who would say Tehillim, he should be remunerated by God like somebody who studies the most difficult tracts of Mishnah, which are called Negoyim and Aholis, very arcane and difficult Mishnayos. So the other Torah scholar says back to him, it says kimo, as if. It's not the same. What, do you think it's the same? A bunch of country bumpkins, peasants are saying Tillim. You think that's as valuable as when us Torah scholars learn Torah? That's number one. And he says, number two, David HaMelech prayed, it says. He prayed that they should be accepted. Who says that David HaMelech's prayer was accepted? And he says, you know, there's a Gemara. I'll prove to you that not all of King David's requests were accepted. The Gemara tells us that there were seven people whom after their passing, that their corporeal remains did not rot. The bodies remained whole. And the Gemara goes on and talks about Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and another four. And he says that David HaMelech, the Gemara says, but did not David HaMelech pray that Besari, Yishkoin, Lovetach, that my flesh should be secure permanently? And the Gemara says, well, in that case, David HaMelech should have been included. So the Gemara says, it doesn't say, it says David HaMelech asked. And asked. And so the scholar says back, you see, David HaMelech made a request, and the request accomplished absolutely nothing. And the same is true about saying Tillim. You're wasting your time with saying Tillim. David HaMelech asked that the recitation of Tillim be valuable in God's eyes as if the study of Torah, but the study of Torah is far greater. The tzaddik, Reb Moshe, overheard this entire conversation. And he told his mechutna, Reb Yankiv Yosef, in great angst, did you hear? He said, did you hear? He said, David HaMelech made prayed, David HaMelech asked, and he accomplished nothing? And he repeated this a number of times. He said, Oy vey Izmir, Oy vey, said, David Melech Yisrael asked and wasn't answered. Oy vey Izmir. And he repeated this in great angst. And he said, this is like a knife in my stomach. I feel literally being like I'm being my stomach cut apart to hear a person say these words. Is he so blinded by his arrogance, he doesn't even know the correct pshat in the Gemara? Rav Moshe went on to explain that the Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't say David HaMelech wasn't responded to. The Gemara asks, why does David HaMelech not get listed amongst those whose bodies didn't decompose? And the Gemara answered that they, the other seven, didn't have to ask for it, but David HaMelech had to ask for it. And so if David HaMelech made a prayer, the prayer is surely meaningful and effective. And the point that I want to share with you about this little story is that, you know, we